Good morning. I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition. They recently did excavations in Washington Park and have projects as far-flung as Alaska. Gray and Pape is a cultural resources management company that's been headquartered in Over the Rhine for 25 years. Owner Kevin Pape shares stories later on Cincinnati Edition. In about 15 minutes, Ann Thompson talks with Salman Khan about his book, One World Schoolhouse, Education Reimagined. First, Jay Hanselman has a look at what was making local news headlines this week.
Ohio's congressional delegation voted with the majority to pass the agreement that avoided the so-called fiscal cliff of middle-class tax increases and spending cuts. All five House Democrats from Ohio voted in favor. Ohio's House Republicans split, six voting in favor and seven against. WVXU's political reporter Howard Wilkinson says the vote on the agreement puts House Speaker John Boehner from Westchester in a difficult position.
Because it was clear through this that he could not control a lot of the members of his own delegation, of his Republican caucus. 151 of 242 House Republicans voted against this deal.
Steve Shabbat, Gene Schmidt, and Michael Turner were among the local Republican representatives who voted no. Kentucky's Thomas Massie and Indiana's Mike Pence also opposed it. It turns out 2012 was one of the hottest on record in several Ohio cities. Thanks to an unusually warm spring followed by a hot summer, Cleveland and Columbus both had their highest average annual temperatures last year. Both cities broke records set in 1998. Columbus had an average temperature of 56 degrees in 2012. Toledo, Cincinnati, and Dayton all fell short of breaking their records, but it was still among the five hottest years those cities have posted. State climatologist Jeffrey Rogers says more and more evidence points to climate change for the spiking temperatures. He tells the Columbus Dispatch the state has had decades of rising temperatures since the 1960s. Governor John Kasich is warning Ohio oil and gas drillers if they keep telling Ohio legislators to block his plan to raise the severance tax on the underground energy sources, the drillers could wind up with something worse, a ballot issue that would raise taxes on them even higher. In recent weeks, Governor Kasich has been telling the energy companies his plan to hike drilling taxes is nowhere near as big as what liberal activists are pushing.
What some of these companies need to be concerned about is somebody doing a ballot initiative and raising it to 8 or 9%, which would really hurt the industries.
The left-of-center think tank Innovation Ohio has proposed a bigger tax hike than what Kasich is pushing, but spokesman Dale Butland says the group hasn't been thinking about a petition drive that would put its alternative up for a statewide vote.
We'll have to wait and see. I mean, we don't have any plans at the moment to put something on the ballot.
Meanwhile, Ohio drillers continue to oppose both proposals to tax them more. One lobbyist says if the state taxes drillers more, those companies may decide to move out of Ohio. Critics say that's nonsense since the drillers will make big profits in the state even if taxes are raised. Kentucky Governor Steve Beshear will deliver the annual State of the Commonwealth Address in early February. Spokeswoman Kerry Richardson says the exact date hasn't yet been pinned down. Beshear is expected to highlight his legislative priorities in the speech that will be delivered to a joint session of the legislature. Lawmakers are set to arrive in Frankfort on Tuesday to start the legislative session, but after a week, they're scheduled to adjourn until February 5th when they return to get down to business. It seems likely Kentucky tax reform will wait until later in 2013 if it occurs at all in the upcoming year. 54 recommendations submitted by a special commission remain on the governor's desk. The governor says they could remain there until later in the year when he may call a special session of the legislature. One proposal reduces the tax exemption on pension income. Commission member John Williams says the growing number of retirees taking that exemption is cutting into state revenues.
So long as you've got that happening on a growth in retirees, you're going to have a continued lessening of personal income tax income to the state. So it over time means that's going to widen the gap in terms of income produced by this tax to pay for the needed services of the Commonwealth.
But it may not be an easy sale in the General Assembly. Senate Majority Floor Leader Damon Thayer isn't fond of the idea. Still, Thayer refuses to speculate on the reform package until he sees the proposal in its final form. Andy Dalton is getting a second chance to shine in a hometown playoff game. The first one didn't turn out very well. Last year, in a wild card round, the The Bengals quarterback had one of the worst games of his rookie season. He threw three interceptions, including one that J.J. Watt returned for a touchdown in the Houston Texans' 31-10 victory. It was the first time Dalton had lost at Reliant Stadium, where he played in high school and at TCU. He's going back home for a rematch today with a lot more confidence. Dalton improved in every category this season and has more control of Cincinnati's West Coast offense. Plus, he's been able to stay healthy. He had the flu before last year's game. The Bengals are in the playoffs for a second straight season. That's the Week in Review. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Jay Hanselman.